ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text Number 9. Rajo Vacha Drishta Shruthapyam Yat Papam Janan Api Atmano Hita Karoti Bhuyo Vivashaha प्रायश्चित्तं मतो कथा श्रीरा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। महाराज परीक्षित सेड, वन मे नो दैट सिनफुल एक्टिविटी इज इंजूरियस फॉर हिम बिकॉज ही एक्चुअली सीज दैट अ क्रिमिनल इज पनिश्ड बाय द गवर्नमेंट एंड रिब्यूक्ड बाय पीपल इन जनरल And because he hears from scriptures and learned scholars that one is thrown into hellish conditions in the next life for committing sinful acts. Nevertheless, in spite of such knowledge, one is forced to commit sins again and again, even after performing acts of atonement. Therefore, what is the value of such atonement? Purport. In some religious sects, a sinful man goes to a priest to confess his sinful acts and pay a fine. But then he again commits the same sins and returns to confess them again. This is the practice of a professional sinner. Parikshit Maharaj's observations indicate that even 5,000 years ago, it was the practice of criminals to atone for their crimes, but then commit the same crimes again as if forced to do so. Therefore, owing to his practical experience, Parikshit Maharaj saw that a process of repeatedly sinning and atoning is pointless. Regardless of how many times he is punished, one is attached to sense enjoyment, will commit sinful acts again and again until he is trained to refrain from enjoying his senses. The word vivashah is used herein, indicating that even one who does not want to commit sinful activities will be forced to do so by habit. Parikshit Maharaj therefore considered the process of atonement to have little value for saving one from sinful acts. In the following verse, he further explains his rejection of this process. श्री राज उवाच दृष्ट श्रुताभ्यम यत् पापम जानन आत्मनो हितम करोति भूय विवशः प्रायश्चित्तम अतो कथम। सो हियर परीक्षित महाराज इज ट्राइंग टू रिप्लाई टू सुखदेव गोस्वामीज आंसर अबाउट द प्रोसेस ऑफ अटोनमेंट. And Parikshit Maharaj here is expressing his displeasure, saying that any sort of atonement here, what you have mentioned is not practical, because a person who performs sinful activities and undergoes atonement, but because of a force of habit, vivashaha, he again performs the same sinful act, and is telling what is the use of this atonement. Srila Prabhupada here in the purport mentions that this word vivasha indicates that even one who does not want to commit sinful activities will be forced to do so by habit. Srila Prabhupada in his purport mentions that ignorance of one's constitutional nature is a root cause of sinful activities, and a person when he commits more and more of sinful activities, he gets convinced of the fact that whatever he is doing is right. So much so that people even do not believe that there is something called as next life and that he or she has to suffer for the acts that he or she performs. Bhavanand Prabhu, in his lecture, he was mentioning about one of his friends in Australia who met with an accident, and after preaching Bhavan Prabhu during a course, he just mentioned that how futile this life is, that how short the life is, and that one should take note of this fact that life is very short. So he expected that the lady whom he was talking to would come to her senses and then realize that, yes, I should not be doing anything nonsense and I should just understand the real goal of life and then take to the process of Krishna consciousness. Instead of that, her answer was that, yes, I realize that the life is very short, and because the life is very short, I should enjoy whatever rest of the life, whatever I am going to live. So Bhavan Prabhu was mentioning at that time that how pathetic the situation is, that when a person is engaged in some activities like this, he becomes so much convinced that he feels that I should do whatever is best I feel is good for myself, and is completely convinced of that fact. There's a very wonderful story to illustrate the fact that there was one person, a very rich person, and he would all the time engage in sinful activities, so-called sinful activities. And a person who chronically goes to a race course and bets on the horses. Like that, he loses so much of money through this. So once, while he was coming out from the race course, he has been constantly told by his wife that please do not engage in such activities. Because the nature of betting in such race course is that if you make money, because the money comes easy, you do not know what to do with the money, so definitely you engage it in some illicit activities. Or you lose some money and then again, same thing, you engage in some activities. Like you drink, you smoke, everything to just make yourself forget about that situation. So, as he was going from the race course, it seems one beggar came to him. And the beggar said, please give me some 5 rupees. Now, this person was a little disturbed because normally a beggar only begs. He doesn't demand for money. He says, give me 5 rupees. So, this person asked him, he said, why do you want 5 rupees? Huh? Are you going to drink? He says, no, I'm not going to do drinking. Are you going to smoke? He says, no, I'm not going to smoke. Are you going to bet on the horses? Are you going to gamble? He says, no. He says, what are you going to do with this 5 rupees? He says, I'll have some nice food if you give me 5 rupees. He says, come, sit with me in the car. He opened the door of his car. He made him sit with him, next to him. He says, where are you taking me? He says, I'm going to take you to my wife to tell him, see, this is a situation of a person who doesn't smoke, who doesn't drink, who doesn't gamble. So better is a person like myself who drinks, gambles, everything, because I enjoy. Means this person is so much convinced of the fact that, you know, life is like this. Then one has to drink, one has to smoke, one has to gamble, all these things. This is called as vivashah. The person is completely engrossed in this, feels again and again, he knows that engaging such things is not good. But still, because he's forced by habit, he does that. And he does that and he is convinced of the fact that everything is all right. Like I have a patient who is a chronic gutkha eater. Now, this is such an innocent thing that it's just, you know, it's a 1 rupee packet. But what damage it causes, one cannot imagine. Some 2 years, 3 years back, he was that time also a chronic eater. And that time it was mentioned to him that if you eat this, you can have a oral cancer. There is a possibility of a oral cancer because of prolonged use of this is going to cause cancer to you. You would say, what to do, my dear doctors? I have to do it because if I don't eat, then I may not be able to work. And after 3 years, he has developed what is called as submucous fibrosis. It means that you are not able to open your mouth much. Like the cheek muscles, they become very tough. They become hard. So you are not able to open your mouth. So when I asked him, he says, are you still on with the gutka? He says, I have to do it. He says, do you know what reaction it has caused you? He says, I know, doctor, but what to do now? I still have to do it. I said, do you still want to wait for an oral cancer to come? Because the next stage will be this. In spite of saying all these things, he says, next time, he says, I'll promise, I'll not do anything, I'll not eat. But again, he has done the same thing. And yesterday also, when he had come, he still is on that. Now he knows that all these things are going to happen and appears very innocent, but then still, because you have that habit to eat, cannot avoid that. You had a professor who was such a chronic smoker, and he would just joke with the students saying that, you know, I save a lot of money. How? He says, because I don't have to use matchsticks. Because one after another, I only smoke cigarette. One smoke, and the other one I light with that, and again, just goes on. That's how I save. He says, saves on matchstick. He boasts about himself, saying that he is, you know, doing something great. And as soon as he comes in the classroom, the first thing he'll be in front of the people, he'll just, you know, light a matchstick, and he cannot give a lecture without smoking. And so much happened. After a period of time, the person who was sitting on the first bench, when the professor would open the lighter and open a cigarette box, take out a cigarette, put it in his pocket, the student who was sitting in front bench, he also felt like smoking. So he also opened his pack and he also started smoking. So this the professor saw, that the person on the first bench also has now started smoking. Now he, all the time during the lecture, his one eye was on this person who was smoking. He didn't say anything. Now, all the other students understood that now this person had it. Finished. This person will get a sauce after the lecture is over. So once the lecture is over, this professor took this student, who is actually my senior, took this student and took him aside. So everyone watching the show from the back, saying that he is getting good sauce. And good 15 minutes he was talking to him. So they thought that, you know, now this person is really getting a good sauce from him. But actually what was he talking is that he was trying to tell him that the way you were smoking was not right. You should smoke in this way and you should smoke in that way. Means this is how he was giving a 15-minute lecture on how to smoke and how to save on the cigarette. Now, you know, that is a situation, actually, a pathetic situation where a person compelled by habit can go to that extent that he would like to convince others and also engage others in such sinful activities. Radha Gopinath Prabhu very regularly mentioned in his classes that when he would go to GT hospital, he would meet a person who was a chronic drinker and he would have a liver cirrhosis. So you would meet him, you would meet the patients, and then you would find this person, a Catholic. And you say, what happened to you? He says, what to do now? You know, I thought of not having anything, but then there was a party and they told me to drink. I drank and I am here. So after preaching, he said, I will not do anything. I will not drink now. I have decided I will not drink anymore. But after 1 month, when Radha Gopinath Prabhu said, when you go to the hospital, you would again find the same person there. The same thing, Vivashaha. He says, I decided not to smoke, but there was a party. My friend invited me to party. And I decided not to drink, but what to do? Everyone were drinking and they said, why don't you have just a little? And then after eating, having a little, just goes away. So this is a pathetic situation for everyone. Srila Prabhupada mentions in his lectures that how that a pregnant lady, you know, when she has a labor pain delivering the child, that pregnant lady decides that she will not have a baby again. But then after some time, after a few years go, then she again decides to have a child. because that pain is gone, that thing is away. Similarly, a person who engages in some illicit affairs gets a disease, called as venereal disease. And then he's told by a doctor, he's been, you know, counseled by the doctor that you should not be doing all these things. This can cause such a drastic thing in your life, and you may even give to others. And then after curing, after getting cured of all this, the person again engages in such activities. This is because of the force of habit. So Parikshit Maharaj here is convinced of this fact that even though someone may commit a sinful activity, and committing a sinful activity, he may go to atone. But what is the use of atonement? Because again, when the right situation comes, he'll again engage in that act. It's of no use. Here Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that how in some religious sects, sinful man goes to a priest to confess and pays a fine, but again he commits the same sins and returns to confess them again. And he said, this is the practice of a professional sinner. This is what is there. So Parikshit Maharaj is not convinced or not happy with the answer which Shukdev Goswami has given, that the karma kanda or the gyan kanda mark, he says, I don't agree with that. Because even after doing all these things, it's of no use. And subsequent chapters, we'll find how Parikshit Maharaj is trying to explain this particular fact, and how Shukdev Goswami is very happy to hear that. And then he talks about the real atonement. In the Nectar of Devotion, as Prabhupada mentions, that a person, when he's diseased, it is said that ultimately, when you have to treat a disease, you have to treat from the root, not superficial. A mere cleansing of a body or the symptoms is not enough. One has to understand the root cause of the disease and treat from the root cause, and then only the disease will be eradicated completely from the body. So similarly, it is said that when a person has a material body, means it's indication that the person has performed a crime, a sin. The very reason that you have this material body, that means you have performed a sinful act. You have performed so many sinful acts for so many years, that's why you have got this material body. Sansara vriksha agabijam ananta karma. This sansara vriksha is made up of, come out from the seed of sin. So when a person has this material body, as long as he has this material body, he is bound to commit a sinful act. He is bound to. That's by the force of habit. And Srila Prabhupada said that if at all one has to get rid of this disease, then one has to undergo what is called as real atonement. And he said, what is real atonement? Real atonement is the awakening of dormant love for Krishna. To the extent one does not do that, one doesn't undergo real atonement. So real prayaschit, as Srila Prabhupada would mention, is that one, when undergoes, when one awakens that dormant love for Krishna, which is there within his heart. And Srila Prabhupada later on explains that how this can be done. He says, by one engages in devotional service under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. When one engages in pure devotional service, and he quotes Rupa Goswami, Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Anavrita Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Ruttamam. That means when engages in a service which is free from a tinge of even fruitive activities or speculation, not even a tinge. If there is even a tinge of fruitive results or philosophical speculation, then that will not give you pure devotional service. Until you don't come to the platform of pure devotional service, to that extent you will be always be engaging in this sinful activities. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada says that when one engages in pure devotional service over a period of time, he gets rid of all these anarthas, slowly and slowly. And a stage comes when you'll be free from all the sinful acts which he has performed. We have a wonderful story of Mrigari the hunter. That how Mrigari the hunter was engaged in so much of sinful activity. He was killing the animals half and then killing them fully later on. This would make them dead. They would suffer like that and the animals would die. And when Narad Muni came, Narad Muni actually preached to him the consequences of the sinful activities which he was doing. And then under the instruction of Narad Muni, he engaged in devotional service. And by engaging in devotional service, what happened? That he achieved the platform of pure devotional service and he was absolved from all the sinful activities which he was performing. We have this wonderful example. So there are so many examples in the Shastras where a person who is engaged in sinful activities but under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, he becomes free from all these activities. So Srila Prabhupada many a times in his purport would mention that one has to see that he is regularly in the association of the devotees and serve the Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's a wonderful verse, Kaivalyam Narakayate Tridashapur Akasha Pushpayate Durdantendriya Kala Sarpapatali Proktayate Damshayate. This particular verse is by Prabodhanand Saraswati. And he mentions that how when a person is engaged in the service of Lord Chaitanya, then what happens is that the Kaivalya Narakayate, that means whatever that particular person hopes to achieve of Brahman realization or whatever, that is considered hellish by him. He feels it is hellish. And he says that ki, if by force a person is forced to commit a sinful act, but a person who is engaged in Krishna consciousness by some force of habit is made to perform or he performs a sinful act, it is as if a poisonous whose fangs or poison has been removed from his teeth. It doesn't affect him so much because the Lord protects him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy to all of us is that he is engaging all of us in the service of the Lord. That is his greatest mercy. And we find in the lives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers also how they, by their example, are proving that it's only the devotional service that is what they really desire for. We have the example of Sridhara Kolovecha, that who was asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that please ask for any benediction, whatever you want, you take. But Sridhara Kolovecha only asked for only pure devotional service. He said, just birth after birth, just engage me in the service of yours. Just come, steal the banana leaves, banana plate, whatever you want. And then just do this. Let me just be engaged in this service. Haridas Thakur was asked the same thing. He also asked for same service. Advaita Acharya was asked the same. We have the story of Ramanand Rai, Pratap Rudra, Maharaj Pratap Rudra. That how he wanted to gain the audience of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But because he was a king and because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, externally, he showed that it's improper for him to associate with a person who is attached to material opulence. But by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, by Guru Maharaj Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, Maharaj Pratap got an opportunity. He got to engage in the Lord's service. You know, first, he saw that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave he relieved Ramanand Rai from his job because Ramanand Rai actually wanted to engage in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's service. When he met him at in the south, that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you should leave your government office and be with me in Jagannath Puri. And when this was told to Maharaj Pratap Rudra, Maharaj Pratap Rudra just relieved him from that government, that he gave him pension twice. He raised the pension two times. That was the first thing. Second thing, he saw that how During the Rath Yatra, Maharaj Pratapada was sweeping the floor in front of Lord Jagannath's cart. And that really pleased Lord Chaitanya. And not only that, Maharaj Pratapada during the Rath Yatra was making all facilities for the devotees of the Lord. And then ultimately when the Lord was resting in the garden, that time Sarvam Bhattacharya said, now you go dress yourself as a beggar and then you sing the wonderful glories of the Lord, massage his feet, and that time you'll get the mercy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered him that mercy, gave him the mercy, pure love for Krishna. I would just like to share with you the wonderful discussion that we had when we were in Mayapur last week with His Grace Jananivas Prabhu. All of you may be aware of whatever the answer he may have given, but then when actually I was there in front of him, when he spoke with the conviction, I really felt that this is what is the mercy. Out of casual, this one, I just, you know, approached him on the last day and said, Prabhu, I just want something to hear from you. So he called me in the afternoon. And then, as would be, I just asked a casual statement. He said, please tell us something about Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Not a very serious question, but a casual question, you can say. And then he became very serious. He just asked me a counter question. He said, you tell me, what is Lord Chaitanya's mercy? I never expected that thing to come upon me. And he was looking into my eyes and he said, tell me, what is Chaitanya's mercy? He asked me twice. So I said, Lord Chaitanya's mercy is that he is allowing us to chant the holy names and, you know, giving us an opportunity to glorify the holy names. He kept quiet almost for 2 minutes. He did not speak. He went deep, closed his eyes, and after some time he looked at me and he said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is that he is engaging all of us in his service. He says, we don't have any qualification on our own. What qualification can you have? If the devotee does not give any service, what service can you do? He says, how can you be proud of any service that you are performing? He says, because the devotees of the Lord are engaging you in some service, that's why you are able to do some service. And for that, you have to be grateful for that service. He says, if you are not grateful for the service, then you are not fit to be receiving that mercy. He says, you should understand, and he went on speaking, he said, you should understand that our position is only to serve the orders of our Vaishnavas. That's all. We have no other qualification. We have no other qualification, and how can you be proud of what services you have been doing? He says, when a senior Vaishnava gives you instruction, along with the instructions comes the empowerment. And when you do that service and you do that successfully, how can you claim credit for that success? The credit naturally goes to the person who gives you the instruction. So, if that is the case, then you are situated in that mode of servant of the servant. He said, the very reason that when you are engaged in service of the Vaishnavas, you are actually at that time put in your constitutional position. Jivir Swarupai Krishna Nitya Das. And because you are put up in that constitutional position, you are liberated at that time. And sir, as long as you are put up in that situation, you are freed from the cycle of birth and death. He said, the moment you come out of that, he said, you are back into this material cycle of birth and death. He says, there is no other situation, there is no other choice. We have only one thing, that we should be constantly engaged in that. He said, consciousness is more important here. He said, in what consciousness you are serving? Are you serving for your own sake or are you serving for the pleasure of the devotees? If the devotees are asked to do something and you are doing it for his pleasure, that means you are rightly situated. And there is nothing wrong in you saying that you are proud of that particular fact that you have been asked to do that service, and you be grateful for that service. So he was again and again talking about the importance of understanding that we are in that mood of service. Whether we are chanting the holy names, whether we are following any orders, we just do it only to please. Of course, we all know that how the holy name is going to give us this and that and everything. But as a sadhaka, we understand only one thing, that we are asked to do that, so we do it sincerely. We are asked to follow the four regular principles. We are asked to chant of 16 rounds. So we do this because we have been asked to do that. And by just following the orders, we are in that position. We are constitutionally in that position of being servant. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us this wonderful opportunity for us to serve. And he himself, through his example, was in that mood of servant of the servant. Emphasizing fact of the fourth verse, that na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, va jagadish kamai, mama janmani, janmanishore, bhavatat bhaktir ahetukitai. That I only want to be engaged in devotional service birth after birth after birth. I don't want to have any other position except to be recognized as a servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. He says, in the spiritual world, everyone is in this mood of servants under servant. And to the extent you are in this situation, you are perfectly liberated. You are liberated from this entanglements of this material world. If not, then you will be constantly in the cycle chewing the chewed. Punas charvita charvananam. He says, that's why one should understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is that he has come here to engage all of us in that service. And when we engage ourselves in that service, we are free from all the anarthas which are within our heart. And then we get a glimpse of that pure devotional service. And when we have that pure devotional service, that time we just are brightly situated. We achieve the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada here is mentioning that only by a proper process of devotional service, that one can really atone for all the sinful acts that one can commit. And all the good qualities, when one engages in devotional service, all the good qualities that one has to possess by engaging in devotional service will be achieved. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Gaurang Prabhu? करंतराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। शिल प्रभुपाद की जय।